I think it's going to work. I am feeling optimistic about Lyndale Avenue because there's always a risk. You try something new.
Yeah.
And something goes wrong. Maybe it's not even your fault. Mm-hmm. But like people get very mad about it. But I think the visible, tangible, like experience of people is going to be that this is a positive.
I think so too.
Despite the traffic engineers who say, no, the traffic volumes are too high.
Yes, and I will say that the traffic engineers at the county seem to be convinced. Like I'm not getting a vibe of continued resistance.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is a real thing. Real thing.
None of you have the balls to stop this. Stop this.
I've got plenty of time. I have nothing else going on today.
We're in the Wedge neighborhood right now.
Is it the right length like for length. You? Are you tall?
I'm tall.
Does that feel okay?
Let's see.
I think it's as far back as I can put it without taking a pin out. What do you think?
That's fine. I mean, you know, how long are we going to be out and about?
I don't know. How much fun are we going to have?
Exactly. Okay. I think it's fine.
I can do most of the pedaling. Your job is...
I know. Talking and pedaling might be beyond me.
You would be surprised. It is very difficult to have an interesting conversation with all the things that are going on.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, so maybe I'll like...
Okay. Which direction should we go?
Oh gosh, anything. It's like, it's all hopping. I'm so impressed.
I'm very concerned about that direction because it's very congested.
Oh, okay, let's go that direction. We can go see the traffic islands.
That's true. That'll be very topical.
Okay. I want to help, so I just pedal.
Yeah, we're just pedaling. And make sure I don't run into anyone. You also have control of the steering.
Sorry, okay. Sorry.
Okay, we're gonna do it. We're doing it. Okay, hey!
Oh, this is okay.
And we can
wonderful.
We can go super slow.
Okay.
And so we're back here on the podcast, and this is not live, by the way.
Okay.
With Marion Green, who is the board chair of the Hennepin County Board. Is that the right way to describe you?
Yes, and commissioner.
I feel very out of the loop about Hennepin County government because I don't pay a ton of attention, and I apologize for that in advance. But one of the things you have control over is our terrible, no good county streets, which people are trying to make better. And one of the ways we're trying to make it better are these medians here, which we're coming up on at 25th and 27th streets. They're new. I kind of love them. I did a podcast episode from one of them.
I know. I saw that. That made me so happy.
And we're also getting the 4-to-3-lane pilot coming.
Yes.
How much should we be congratulating you and thanking you? Because the work that went into this behind the scenes, I have no knowledge of at all. And I don't know how Hennepin County government works. How much should we be thanking you for these changes?
You know, I think thanking me, but also thanking and congratulating the community around these intersections who really spoke up and spoke with county staff and shared their experiences of what it's like to live and walk around here and how difficult it's been and continues to be. We, you know, I think there's still some improvements to be made.
Yeah.
So I can take a little credit, but I don't want to take all the credit. And I'm really, it was great to have everything I was saying sort of echoed by the community, and everything the community was saying, I tried to echo. So.
And that's a sincere question. I'm not trying to like be.
No,
I'm not trying to kiss up to Marion Green here. It's just I don't know how. Like, can you tell Public Works this is how it's going to be? The county's Public Works department. I imagine it's not that simple.
It's not that simple because the time horizon is so much longer.
Yeah.
So things just don't happen quickly. And also because things cost money more money in public works, it's a capital project, so there needs to be advance notice and planning. And then also the Capital Budget Task Force, which is a wonderful group of community members who weigh in and advise on our capital expenditures, you know, they need to be on board too. So things do take time, but I will say I do think that there's a philosophical shift happening at the county slowly that is about making these county roads, especially those of them that are in Minneapolis, where the population has really gotten denser around them and where people are really interested in walking and biking and not being so car oriented, there is a deepening understanding that these roads need to change.
Yeah, so county government, one of the reasons it's a mystery and irritating to me is that it's very, like, there are places in Hennepin County I have never been and won't go to and don't know anything about. And so, and you're serving on a board with people who represent those places and have very different interests.
The geographic reach is wide.
And I wonder, are they happy to say, okay, Marion Green, you want to do this where you are, that's fine with me, I don't really care. Go ahead. Is it easier to get along with your colleagues because it's Hennepin County is such a big place and you're like not competing in the way that like city council members on one side of a street and on the other might have differing views and be have some animosity towards each other?
It is a little bit easier, I think, because our districts are bigger and so, you know, both the east and west sides of Lindale Avenue are in District 3. So I just have to agree with myself.
Yeah.
And that definitely does help. On the flip side, there's probably, or at least historically, I actually wouldn't say right now, but historically there's been a broader range of opinion on the county board because some districts are really different from, for example, this district.
Yeah.
You know, a district that's like entirely suburban and rural. You know, their needs and wants are different from the dense parts of Minneapolis.
Who replaced Jeff Johnson?
Kevin Anderson. Kevin Anderson, who's a wonderful, very intuitive leader, and somebody who actually is chair of our Public Works Committee, and really understands sort of this balance and shift that has to happen across the county.
Oh, he's chairing the Public Works Committee.
Yeah.
Is he also a Republican? Is that
he
just a Republican
not.
District?
He's not. Technically, we're nonpartisan.
Oh.
But I don't believe he is a registered Republican. If he's anything, I would guess he's a registered Democrat.
Jeff Johnson was a Republican, right?
Jeff Johnson, his predecessor, was definitely a Republican. We all knew that because he ran for governor.
Is that a swing district?
It's definitely a swing district.
Okay.
So I feel really lucky and excited to have Kevin as a colleague. I want to make sure when he's up in 2 years, he wins re-election. And then another district, you know, speaking of sort of the split on the board, Mike Opat, who was a Democrat, retired from the board and was replaced by Jeff Lundy, who is, I think, technically a Republican, maybe an independent, but he really understands these issues that are about community building through the built environment. Also really a strong ally on immigration issues. So even though he is probably a registered Republican, you know, I can work with him very closely, and it's nice because he has relationships with Republicans that maybe I don't have.
So when we were going back to 2019 and the community was asking for a 4-to-3-lane conversion, one of the arguments from the county's public works professionals was that traffic volumes are just too high on Lindale for that to work.
Yes, I think the concerns at the time were traffic volumes, and then also a little bit of a question mark because 35W was torn up, and so a sense of there were high traffic volumes on Lindale Avenue, but how permanent were they going to be?
Yeah, there
was actually sort of a notch in our favor was traffic will be shifting away and back to the highway, we hope.
I feel like you're doing most of the pedaling. Let's slow
it down. I know, I'm pedaling out of habit, but yes, exactly. I'll stop.
Well, let's Marion Green is a speed demon. So how do you push back on that? As an elected official, like, you're not a traffic engineer.
No, I'm not.
Do you rely on like other people who know stuff and be like, I don't know.
I do. Like, there are experts in the community who I'll call and say, you know, so how would you interpret these numbers, or what's the argument against or for this or that? You know, it's true that there are other factors, things like what's going on with the city of Minneapolis and what construction projects they have planned, because, you know, for, you know, not just for the public works department, but for our residents, we don't want to do everything at the same time. So there are things like that that are more intangible that are to be considered. But yeah, I try to have, you know, as a commissioner, I'm probably a mile wide and inch deep, and I try to be in touch with people who have expertise who can fortify the things that I'm trying to advance and provide some of that expertise in places where I might need it to strengthen my argument.
So how do you get around on a daily basis? What is your transportation?
That's a great question, and it's about to shift. So until this week, the county board has been working from home. And so this week on Tuesday, we're going to have our first in-person board meeting since March of 2020.
Are you going to be meeting some people for the first time?
I have actually met them in person, okay. But that is about it. Like, mostly we've been doing our business on the phone and through online, you know, video conferencing. So it's going to be different, and we're going to be really in relationship building mode, which I think is fantastic. But as a consequence, my travel is really changing. So I've been very, very much a pedestrian, because I've been meeting at home or meeting people in the community, you know, in the walkable area. And now I'm going to be going downtown again, and I actually have an e-bike that is not in my hands yet, but has been ordered.
So I won't recognize it, but I'm sure some listeners will be very interested to know what kind of e-bike you have.
Well, I'm open to advice if anybody
wants to. Oh, you haven't gotten it yet.
I've purchased it, but I'm going to test. I purchased two actually that I'm going to test drive.
Okay.
And they're both. What's the name? It's REI brand.
The only name I'm aware of is like Rad Power. Is that what it is?
It's not Rad Power, but I like that name. I think it's CTY.
Okay.
Does that ring a bell? They're the REI brand of electric bike. And I do have one more stop in my research planned, which is that there's a store that specializes in e-bikes on Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park, and I haven't been there yet.
We were talking about your commuting, so you're gonna start commuting by e-bike?
I hope so, yes. Probably there'll be some car involved, because I'll have meetings that aren't downtown that might be, you know, in offices elsewhere in the metro. But my car is an electric car, so I'll be very, very electric.
Okay. Are there any particular walks that you do often? I don't want to give away where you live. You live in Ward 10, right?
I am a Ward 10 resident, and there are probably three walks that I do with most regularity. One is around Bede-Mikaska.
Okay.
That's a classic walk for me. I also enjoy just wandering around the neighborhood and admiring people's gardens and, you know, exploring the grid of Southwest Minneapolis. And then another walk that's become another classic in the pandemic is walking through Lakewood Cemetery.
Yeah, you know who gives tours of Lakewood Cemetery?
No.
Mike Norton.
Oh.
Minneapolis DFL Vice Chair.
I'll have to get a tour. I had no idea.
You were speaking with Mike Norton earlier, right? When right before we started.
Oh, yes, exactly. Yeah. I had no idea. I'll have to ask him about that. And I know his office is near the front entrance to Lakewood.
Yeah, he's like a big logistics tycoon.
I had no idea.
You didn't know he was into shipping containers?
No.
Yeah, that's his job.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how he's burrowed his way into leftist circles in Minneapolis when he's like this award-winning business leader.
That's good. We need more. I used in my first election for the legislature, I touted myself as the progressive with the MBA.
Oh, you
need
an
a little
MBA.
More of that. I do. Yeah, and I used to work in the medical device industry, which made me like really cemented my commitment to single payer universal health care.
Medical device industry. Let's not get into that.
And I know that's a topic for another podcast.
So I've been reading about the historic investments in affordable housing coming out of the county.
Oh, yes. So exciting. Such really hopeful, optimistic work. I'm excited about it.
And the county has also invested a lot of pandemic relief federal money into homelessness response, too. And I saw a presentation at the council talking about basically a fiscal cliff. Like, we have this funding to spend now,
yes.
But can we sustain it? Can you talk about the challenge of trying to sustain the good work you're able to do right now into the future?
That is definitely a question that's on all our minds. We're trying to use the ARPA, the federal dollars, as smartly as possible to support things as long into the future as we can, but also to maybe take care of bigger capital expenses that, you know, like a one-time big bundle of money could take care of. But we definitely sort of have our radar up about, you know, what year is the cliff going to be and what are we going to do about it? The nice thing is the board is, I would say, pretty solidly supportive of all the work that we've been doing. You know, feels like it's a priority that we want to keep committing to. And I do think we've been smart about how to invest. I just yesterday was talking with a neighborhood, with Wyndham Neighborhood, about the Metro Inn Motel that was purchased by the county, became emergency shelter during the sort of heat of the pandemic, and is now transitioning into single room occupancy housing.
Yeah, the city legalized single room occupancy, and now we can build housing for people. It's now legal to build housing for people.
Yeah. And I really feel a lot of gratitude to the city of Minneapolis for that, because that's made us be able to do new and different things. You know, there still is a limitation that the buildings need to be owned, I think, and or managed by a nonprofit.
Yeah, or a government entity.
Or a government entity. But it's a big step in the right direction.
So when you're out talking, this is an election year, by the way.
It is. That's right. Thank you, listeners. It is an election year.
So you are...
I'm up this year. And I've got a redrawn district, which still has my house in it, that's good news.
What did we lose?
We lost two precincts down by 62, by Highway 62. We lost Armitage and half of Kenny.
Okay. Who are they represented by now?
They are represented by Commissioner Debbie Gotell.
Okay.
Which... there's, you know, for a Minneapolis listener, there's some benefits there, because we now have a fourth commissioner who has a little bit of Minneapolis in their district.
So when you're out talking to people and explaining to them why you're relevant, what the county does, have you found a hook? You've been at this job a while. What is the thing that people find most compelling when you're making a pitch? Oh, that makes me understand why the county government is important.
Yes. Like, probably the piece I lean on the most is our human services role. Because that's work that people really appreciate and value. They want to know that there's a solid safety net. There's not necessarily enormous fluency about who's providing it. But when I describe how the county is, and that in many ways one of the reasons we're so low profile is that we're not screwing things up.
Yeah.
And that's good. That's a hook. And I mean, honestly, probably the most loved part of our portfolio of work is the library system. But that's actually a small fraction of our total budget.
I would imagine books are the tiniest fraction.
Sorry?
I would imagine books are a small fraction of the county's budget.
Yes, an increasing number of e-books. But yes, exactly, on the whole.
I hate to ask you this, because you probably don't know the answer. You're not a librarian. But how come when I want to check out an e-book, how can an e-book be out out of the library. I just want to read an ebook. Why is it not available to me?
Yeah.
I guess the answer is you only have permission to rent out a certain number of copies.
It's
irritating.
Exactly.
Like, yes. I know you have it. I know that electronic information is there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dumb question. I'm sorry.
No, that is sort of a weird and a counterintuitive detail about ebooks.
Yeah.
I feel the same frustration when I buy an ebook and then can't loan it to somebody.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's a way to loan it to somebody, but it involves so many hurdles and sign-ins that it's prohibitive.
We'll be right back after a brief message from our sponsor.
Hey, listeners. I want to talk to you about fashion. Did you know that Wedge Live has t-shirts and hats available? I'm wearing some right now. If you already have your Wedge Live merch and need even more creative shirts from around town, grab the latest issue of Dispatch. For this month's issue, Dispatch lays out some fashionable local shirt recommendations for your summer style. Plus, they check in with Mary Lucia, preview the upcoming Afropunk Festival, unpack the insane memes of the Walker Teens Instagram, and much more. And you know I love some insane memes. Sign up for their newsletter and get more reports from the Minneapolis and St. Paul arts and culture scene at dispatchmsp.com. That's dispatchmsp.com.
How long have you lived in Minneapolis?
I have lived in Minneapolis for 23 years.
23 years.
And that's about more than five times longer than I've lived anywhere else ever.
So as an adult you came here?
Yeah, I came here when I was 29.
From a far off place or just from a nearby place?
From Texas. I moved up here after.
We are podcasting, really cool. Yes. Awesome. The Wedge Live. Thank you. From Texas?
From Texas, where I got my MBA.
And where were you before Texas?
And before Texas, I lived in New Mexico.
Oh, wow.
Where I worked in politics.
You've been all over.
I have. And before New Mexico, I lived in D.C.
Oh. So originally from D.C.?
Yes, my parents were in the Foreign Service, so I actually sort of claim New Hampshire a little bit my original home.
Where does New Hampshire come in?
Because that's where we would always go for summer vacation. Actually, interestingly enough, we would go to New Hampshire and to Minnesota for summer vacation because my dad's family, he has a bunch of cousins in New Hampshire, and then his sister lives in St. Paul.
Oh, you have a fascinating background. I feel like I'm surprised to learn all these things about you. Why did you stay here?
Such a great
Stay in Minneapolis?
Oh gosh, there's so much great, you know, it's just a wonderful place. Even before I moved here, I remember actually when the Pillsbury Company was recruiting down at the University of Texas, and they had a hard time getting people to move here from Texas, and they showed a little video that was developed by who knows who that was about the Twin Cities and how much there is going on, and I remember watching the video and thinking, oh yeah, like I've been to a number, you know, I've been to the Ordway over the years and I've been to the Guthrie and I know that there's this enormous sense of civic pride and a desire to make the world a better place. That's part of the ethos around here. And I liked that, and I will say I did not imagine myself settling in Texas.
Yeah. Do you still feel like an outsider here? Because Minnesota has that reputation of, I'll read Reddit posts.
Yes.
About how I've lived here for 5 years, I haven't made any friends, what's wrong with this place, or I'm going to move to Minneapolis, I've heard it's really bad for making friends, people are cold, they don't invite you over, stuff like that. Do you feel like you've made a home for yourself in Minneapolis and you have a good social circle, or... Talk about the adjustment process, maybe.
I do feel like I've made a good social circle and made a home. There definitely is a thing, you know, when people ask you where you're from, like at what point do you become a Minnesotan? And
never.
It seems like never, exactly.
I've only lived in Minneapolis, and so I feel like I don't visit Minnesota because
that's a good question.
In Minneapolis.
Be speedy on the downhill.
Yeah, so it's gonna get very loud.
Okay.
Uh, have to find our way through somehow. Do you mind sticking around with me and riding through this, or you got some place to be?
No, no, no.
Hard to have a good conversation.
So you're from Minnesota and from Minneapolis in
I'm
particular?
I'm from Florida.
Oh, so how have you found
I've only lived here for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
So I also moved here as an adult.
Yeah.
Phil, what should I ask Marion Green?
That's a tough question to put me on the spot for. How excited are you for this Lindale stuff to be done?
Oh my goodness. I drove over here a couple weeks ago and just like looked at them.
Yeah.
And this, I'm really excited for the lane changes to come. Yeah, that's going to be really, you know, next level.
You'll hopefully get like fewer like emails from a bunch of people.
You know what's really nice? I was telling somebody at the Minneapolis Public Works booth, I've been getting emails that are like, thank you so much, you know, so full of gratitude that makes me really happy.
Yeah, I think, it'll be great.
Fun to see you.
See you, Phil. I think it's going to work. I am feeling optimistic about Lindale Avenue because there's always a risk. You try something new.
Yeah.
And something goes wrong. Maybe it's not even your fault.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, people get very mad about it. But I think the visible, tangible, like, experience of people is going to be that this is a positive.
I think so, too.
Despite the traffic engineers who say, no, the traffic volumes are too high.
Yes, and I will say that the traffic engineers at the county seem to be convinced. Like, I'm not getting a vibe of continued resistance.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm glad Marion is here steering with me because you are very skillfully navigating these tight spaces. So I don't drive, and so
this is a lot more comfortable than when I've biked down Lindale on this day. Yeah, because I feel lower and more threatening. I'm not about to come over somebody.
Yeah, you can come to a stop and not tip over sideways.
That's nice too.
And you're a little menacing on four wheels.
Right, we're bigger. We got a little more sort of lower and bigger heft. This is great. The weather just seems to always come along for Open Streets Lindale.
It's the best time to live in Minneapolis right now. This is why we endure the winter.
I was talking with somebody yesterday who I saw here last year and who I know lives wildly elsewhere in the city. And she was like, oh, well, of course I'm going to be there. It's a holiday in the city of Minneapolis.
But I like that you've been all over, that you haven't lived in Minneapolis your whole career.
Oh, thanks.
Or your whole life. I think it's important to have an outside perspective, and I think that's just my bias because I'm not from here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know when I first ran for the legislature, which was the first time running for office, I was very worried about it. I thought, I'm not from here. People always talk about carpetbaggers and so on. And honestly, Southwest Minneapolis there's so many people who have moved here from elsewhere that there is sort of an openness. And then the nice thing is, the one thing we can say about the sort of habit of being a Minnesotan is that part of the habit seems to be to move away and come back.
Yeah.
And so there is a sense of valuing that time in another place, wherever that is.
Yeah, I spoke with someone who is in Louisiana right now and is desperate to come back to Minnesota.
Oh, nice. That's good. I hope they come home soon. We want them.
Their spouse is in the military, so they're stuck.
Oh, that's hard. That's very hard.
So, as a county commissioner,
should we straddle this pothole?
We can. This is the kind of pothole that will catapult Cam Winton into the mayor's office. Do you remember Cam Winton standing in the pothole?
Oh my goodness, I don't.
Oh, that was one of his campaign. Do you know Cam Winton?
I do.
He's one of your constituents, right?
Oh, Cam Winton, of course. I do remember this. Yes, yes, yes. I was attributing the Cam Winton to Cam Gordon.
Oh, yeah. Well, Cam Winton's going to be very offended that you did not immediately recognize his name.
He will be. And he'll undoubtedly call me. Yeah. And I'll look forward to that.
Okay. What was I talking about? Do you remember?
Transplantness. Maybe. Or...
Oh, yeah. As a county commissioner, what is the thing you have the most power to do? Like when you think late at night and you're explaining to someone, this is what I am best at. I'm best equipped in this role to do fairly quickly without a lot of obstacles in my way,
right.
Like working with, you know, getting a lot of buy-in from other people and having, you know, years of budget fights about it. What can you just do? What's your superpower?
That's a really tough question to answer, but for the best reasons. Because there's a lot that we can do. Like, I'm struck, you know, regularly that I'm able to pull things off at work, and then I'll come home, I'll talk about them over the dinner table with Bart, and he'll say, you know, just for kicks, how long would that have taken you at the legislature?
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be, you know, something that would have taken years because of the need for agreement across the aisle and voting in a bill and so on.
That's a pain in the ass.
For the county, a cycle is 2 or 3 weeks, sort of depending on how you count, in terms of introducing something, getting it in front of the right committee, and then having the board vote on it. You know, I do think the best and biggest initiatives take a lot more than 3 weeks because you got to get everybody agreeing and so on. But for something that feels like, no, this is obvious and this is a sort of smaller localized change, it can happen quickly.
That's why I like local government so much.
Mm-hmm.
That you're describing the city council as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like as bad as the blood can get sometimes and, you know, tension on the city council, you can also accomplish things relatively quickly. You don't have Republicans on the city council who hate humanity.
Mm-hmm. Right, and who just want to say no to everything.
Yeah. You can have conversations with people at least.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I love local government.
Yes, you're exactly right. I think it's true. There also feels there's a lot of reward. This feels like power, but in a very individual, you know, serving a one or two constituents sort of way. But if somebody is facing some hurdle with human services in particular, if they engage my office, we can help in a way that really feels like we're making life easier for somebody. And it's very rewarding. And it feels like you can change a life for the better. Of course, every one of those instances, I think, okay, what's the larger thing that needs to change so this doesn't happen again?
Yeah.
This is so pleasant. I love this.
It's fun. My butt is hurting a little bit.
Is it? Have you been doing this all day?
All day.
I think it would be good if we turned around.
Okay. Marion Green is asking to be let off of this ride.
Unfortunately, I have another commitment.
Okay.
Something a little random, but a little fun, which is going to a celebration of the Queen's Platinum Jubilee.
Where's that happening?
It's happening downtown at Brits.
Oh.
It's not organized by Brits, but that's the space that they've used.
Oh. So you don't have to be invited by the Queen, do you?
No, not that I know of. I don't... I think it was organized by the British consul.
Oh, I've ran out of topics. I've been sitting in this chair. I didn't prepare at all.
Oh.
This is all concept and very little substance.
I'm looking forward to listening to it because what I enjoy about all of them is this sort of sense of meandering.
That's a good description. Where am I leaving? Where am I dropping you off?
Oh, at 27th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Marion Green is quite the peddler.
I know I've got to stop.
We're not.
It reminds me of my walking. I'm a fast walker too.
Same here. Right? So an e-bike might be too much for you. What are you going to do with your
boost
feet?
You know what it's going to help with is the ride home. Hey! Getting downtown in the morning on my regular bike.
Hey! Marion Green! Marion Green!
Getting downtown in the morning is not hard, but coming back on a bike at the end of a long day, that's where I lose my gumption. So that's where the e-bike is going to kick in.
How do you decompress? Because politics is really stressful right now. It's not, one of the things I worry about is that good people won't choose to run for office because it's not great for your family and personal life. It's not a way to happiness. So what do you do
to relax? She laughs sardonically. I agree with everything you say, and I honestly don't feel like I've found the best formula yet.
Okay.
I'm trying to do more walking, trying to really sort of separate at a, you know, it's also one of the challenges I think of having been working at home, because you can just sit there on your computer into the evening so easily.
Yeah.
And there's enough to keep you busy no matter what.
Yeah.
I like taking walks with my husband or going out to dinner with friends. That tends to be a weekend will often include a movie.
At home, movie at home?
Some of both, actually. We live in Uptown and we really like the lagoon and try to go there as much as we can because we're worried about its future.
Is it in trouble?
Well, no, it just seems like all of Uptown is, yeah, exactly. It's nothing that I know that's special about the lagoon other than Uptown is going through a time of upheaval. And I will say that we were actually probably maybe people who went to movies earlier than others did in the course of the pandemic, but we had the place to ourselves.
Yeah.
So I never felt like I was, you know, worried about my health, but it did worry me about the theater because there were not, you know, people paying, people buying tickets.
I was gonna ask you something else and I forgot.
Oh, they're flipping it up to get it in there. That's hard.
Hello, Quinch Live.
I love you too.
How about the head of the county too?
No. Oh, thank
wow.
you. Good, good.
Making Lindale better.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you.
We're meeting people who love us. That's the great thing about open streets on Lindale Avenue. Everyone loves you. You're not going to meet any enemies at open streets on Lindale.
Now, let me ask you about your work and the challenges of your work, because you're possibly a one-person crusade.
It feels like that, yeah.
Yeah, and is that how do you maintain your mental health and not have a sense of loneliness?
Well, like you, I take a lot of walks. I find that that is my way to de-stress. Also great for creativity. I don't think enough people understand the mental benefits of just, it's probably just exercise, but walking.
Mm-hmm.
Having a nice place to walk is great for your mental health and creativity. You'll have a lot of, do you find that you have a lot of ideas when you go out walking?
Yes, yes.
Like it gets your mind working.
Like, I feel like my mind is like a tight grid and it relaxes a little bit and ideas that are in there can float up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I feel like I have, the podcast I think has been helpful.
Ah, good.
Because it gets me talking to people. I'm not someone who will have these conversations if not for the podcast. Like, you and I have not sat down and had a long conversation ever. And now that I have this podcast, we have an excuse to ride around on this ridiculous bike at Open Streets and have a long conversation and get to know each other better.
Yeah.
So getting to know some people, doing the podcast, it's a little bit different. I find it like changing things up.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the freedom to do that with Wedge Live. It doesn't have to be the same thing from year to year necessarily, except for the cat tour.
No, yes. And I think I've noticed I'm out of town for this year's cat tour.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, I might have to cancel it if the city screws up this Hennepin Avenue thing. Do you want to talk about Hennepin Avenue? County has a role in funding some transit projects, right?
Yes, we do. Although, well, yes is the short answer.
Okay.
I'm not sure how much skin in the game we have on the arterial bus six.
Do I force you into taking a position on this Hennepin Avenue full-time lane situation?
No.
Okay. I can't force you into taking a position. Or I should. I am going to ask straight out.
I mean,
full-time bus lane on Hennepin Avenue?
I think the dedicated bus lane that's there now has been successful. I would like to see it continue. I realize that there are designs that have alarmed residents about that take out parking. I feel like I don't know enough about sort of the whole project to have an opinion other than I will say I like the idea of full-time bus lanes.
Okay. I feel like I almost forced you into taking a position.
I know. Well, I guess I'm hoping that there's something between the two. There's full-time bus lanes, but we cut down on, you know, I don't know. Does the full-time bus lane drawing include a 4-3 conversion, for example?
It does. Okay. Yeah. Lots of pedestrian improvements. It's got the raised sidewalk level bike path. It's going to be magnificent, especially if we can retain the full-time bus lanes as part of the plan, which the entire legislative delegation is asking for and also Metro Transit is asking for.
Yes, you know, I'm watching both the discussion about Hennepin. There's also a discussion going on Washington Avenue, and I don't remember exactly where on Washington Avenue. And then, of course, Lyndale, where we're in a more leadership role, where I feel like there's been a little bit of a shift in energy between the county and the city, and the county is now sort of ready to really put transit first. Watching all of it, trying to understand.
Avenue or street that you're spending a lot of your time on? Like, mine is Lyndale Avenue. I live here. I'm crossing it all the time to go to the grocery store. What's the street that defines your life?
Probably the capital letter I that is formed with a couple blocks of Hennepin, a couple blocks of Lyndale, and Lake Street connecting them.
Okay.
That's sort of my world of groceries and, you know, everything else, and going to the Jungle Theater, and yeah. That's one thing that the pandemic also has put me more in touch with. I could have told you this, that I believed this sort of up in my head, but now I understand it in a much deeper level. But supporting local businesses is so important, because those dollars are going to be spent locally.
Right.
And of course, I knew that before. I don't want to sound surprised, but I really see it in action in the last 2 years.
How long have you been the county commissioner? Since 2014, is that when?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was elected in a special in May of 2014.
I wonder how you feel about this. How long do you have it in you to do this work? Is this a lifetime?
That's a good question.
Career?
I don't know. I've heard from other elected officials that you sort of know when you're done.
Yeah.
I feel there are some big things that I have that I still sort of want to do. I want to get Southwest Light Rail, you know, as difficult and as painful as that project and topic are. Like, that needs to sort of get farther along. This investment in housing, I'm really excited about that, and I want to sort of see how that keeps going, make sure it does keep going. We're also spending a fair amount of time talking about economic mobility and jobs and small businesses and sort of how we create a thriving economic milieu, and I'm very interested in taking that farther.
So you still got a passion.
Yeah, I still got the passion.
That's why you're running for another term.
That's why I'm running for another term. That's right. Oh yes, we veered away from that topic, but I am running for another term.
It's that your re-election is ever present.
It is. Did you say ever present?
Ever present.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
It's never far from our minds as we're pedaling. I'm sad that Lisa Bender went away. I'll admit that.
Right, I am now. Too. I've been meaning to check in with her to see sort of more about what she's up to. And she was a, like, in a short amount of time, really became a mover and shaker. And I think, did some really great things for Minneapolis.
Just burns you out.
Yeah. Well, she was so productive. You know, I think if you take her career, whether or not you agree with the things she was doing, she did a lot in a relatively short amount of time.
We're coming up on 27th Street, the median.
Oh, yes. We can wave at Minneapolis Public Works.
I don't think they're legally allowed to wave at me.
Oh, why is that?
I don't know. I've said some things about Margaret Anderson Keller. I'm not a fan. So I don't want to hurt anyone's job by talking.
Right, right. Showing connection or not. Margaret does not operate that way, I don't think.
Okay. A lot of signage here. Can we talk about the signage? Let's stop here and admire
yes,
the media.
Yes, let's look at it.
Lots of signs, which I think is ridiculous looking and kind of hilarious, but also probably necessary.
Yes. So when I was here yesterday, and I got out of my car to just sort of check it out and see people interacting and pressing the buttons to cross the street and so on, I had the same reaction. I was like, wow, this is a lot of signs. And then some people were crossing the street on foot and some cars came along and I thought, oh gosh, every one of these signs is needed.
Yeah. You have no excuse for missing it.
No, exactly.
There's a thing about in traffic nerd circles where if you put too many signs, like drivers start to ignore the signs
and it's kind of like
drugs. You start doing drugs and then you need more drugs to feel it. I feel like we've overdosed on signs.
On signs.
Like a little bit of signs was not going to do it because people see the signs all the time. You needed to like knock people over the heads with these signs. You did and it was probably necessary.
I will say another thing that happened yesterday was I pressed the button in order to make the flashing lights go because I wanted to see them. I wanted to see which ones went when I pressed
a
button.
Right?
They all go, but also a car stopped and looked for a pedestrian even though there wasn't one at the time.
Right.
And that honestly made me happy.
They're working, Marion Green.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear it. So now we need the lane change, and then also on my list, but you know, not yet scheduled to happen, is what can we do at the even numbered intersections where things are also really fast. And I know some of the businesses feel like folks would slow down.
So when they had the barrels out and they had this reduced to one lane each way, and the parking was still here, I felt like that worked pretty good, and it made me optimistic about for when it goes to the 4-3 conversion.
Yes.
Because then we'll have the turn lanes.
I feel like
this is going to work.
I had the same experience as a driver when the bump outs were in place with the barrels and it was one lane, and I thought, oh, this. I don't feel slowed at all.
Yeah, it's just like it's more, it's constant, it's more predictable.
Mm-hmm.
Less chance for chaos happening at any moment. And I almost wanted to say, let's make the barrels permanent. Talk about overkill. Keep the ridiculous number of signs.
Signs and barrels. All in orange.
Has this sign dropped off?
I don't know. What? It looks like it's fastened.
Remember when they tried the flags?
Or the bollards?
So they hung the no left turn signs and they put orange flags on top of them. That's the counterpoint to the overdid it with the signs thing.
Yes. I don't remember that chapter. What I remember was the bollards that looked so sort of slim and vulnerable and very quickly were squashed.
That's a good argument against bollards is what happened with that.
Yeah.
Good effort though.
It was a good effort. And one of the things that came up at that time was the desire for emergency vehicles to cross.
Is that why there's kind of a rampy thing at the center so emergency vehicles can get through?
Yes, that's why there's that gap between the traffic islands is for emergency vehicles, exactly. And that's a science, I have to say, I have not studied, which is why would they have to be able to cross here, whereas there are other places in the city where they can't cross, and, you know.
Yeah.
So there's something about, like, where the, you know, where locations of ambulances are that relates to this.
Is this where you need to be?
This is where I need to be.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you for this.
Yeah,
this is lovely. Good to see you.
This is a real thing.
Going on today?
We're in the Wedge neighborhood right now. Right now.